click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast. Kaya Biz.
Wealth creation.
As you would know, here on Kaya Biz, we love talking about money. But it's not just about money. It's about what money can do. I've often said that money doesn't necessarily buy happiness, but I believe that it does give you options. And those levels of options can then influence your quality of life as to what you experience, what you expose to, what you acquire, and essentially what you're able to do with that wealth. And so often in trying to make sure that we all have a better understanding of building and creating wealth, yes, you listen to us here on Kaya Biz, and of course, we get all the necessary experts to guide you and navigate the journey of wealth creation. But social media has certainly democratized access to information, which is a good thing. But how do we need to strike a balance in terms of making sure that we're soliciting the right levels of guidance and not advice on social media? It's a thin line, because ultimately what you need in terms of your financial goals needs to be personalized by a professional. However, general themes are more than open to being discussed on social media. But how do we strike a balance between social media trends with professional advice? Head of Key Accounts at Momentum, Juanita Isaacs, joins us now for more. Juanita, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Good evening to everyone.
It's exciting to speak to you because this has been a conversation that's been bubbling under for the last few years. So much so that even regulators like the Financial Sector Conduct Authority have come on board just to be a little bit more stern in terms of their approach with what they dub finfluencers or financial influencers. Maybe talk to us about the trends that we've seen regarding financial guidance, financial advice and knowledge being shared on social media.
Sure. So there is a FinTok hashtag now that has more than 120,000 posts on TikTok. Essentially, this is personal finance tips, financial education. It's really good, actually. What it really does is it makes financial content relatable to everyone. And more than relatable, it's entertaining. It's finding users where they are. It's speaking in a language that we can all actually understand. And it's aspirational. Typically, these finfluencers, as you call them, they live inspirational lives, or at least that's how it appears on social media. And it creates motivation for people to want to better their finances. So that's generally what FinTok is and what it should be. It should be generic. It should be inspiring. But like you said, it isn't specific to specific people. It's not unique to people's circumstances, and that's where there is a potential gap.
And maybe that's also where we need to start differentiating between FinTok versus financial advice. There's a very clear line in terms of the effort, the studies, the professional development that's required for one to be a certified financial planner.
Absolutely. These finfluencers are very rarely, if ever, actually accredited financial advisors. And really what they are doing is they are helping with budgeting, potentially. They are helping with trends like helping people to underconsume or stay within their budget. Helping them think about how to budget better. That's all necessary, but that's not the same thing as financial advice. Financial advice has to take a person's full personal circumstances into account, and also the range of financial products and the range of financial goals that somebody might have into account.
And I agree with you. I'm actually on the TikTok page right now, and I'm seeing, hundreds and hundreds of videos of different age groups and people in different locations sharing some of their thoughts. And it ranges from everything from budgeting to, you know, financial hacks to building a 10,000 even $10 million investments over a period of various years. And I think that's the differentiation that we should also provide or look at when it comes to interacting with FinTok. So what is it that we as consumers of this information and users of this platform need to be mindful of when engaging with this kind of content?
So what you actually just mentioned is quite worrying when we talk about these 10 million rand investments and, you know, act now and you can also have this lifestyle. That's not actually the type of education or the type of content that we should be following. We should be responsible with it and realize that there's no such thing as a get-rich-quick scheme. And more importantly, the moment there is a big promise or a call to action that is immediate, where somebody is saying, act now and then, click here and then, or if you put this money into this account, then you will also have this this potential lifestyle or this return on investment. Those are big red flags. You cannot actually be following advice of that nature and taking action with your money based on something that has absolutely nothing to do with your financial circumstances. So for me, that's not a useful part of this fintech trend that we're seeing now. That's actually the very scary part. And as consumers, what we should be looking at is what is realistic. At the end of the day, taking one step at a time towards a better financial future is important. And that's where the aspirational quality can be important. But then it is even more critical to speak to a financial advisor and to take your own personal circumstances into account. And then to be blunt, to just not follow those that are asking you to call to action or asking you to invest now or put money into an account. That's the dangerous type.
100%. And I think that's such an important point for us to emphasize, right? A call to action is when we should definitely raise our eyebrows. If it's someone just sharing information, sharing their experience, maybe even platforms, perhaps that's more what we should be leaning into and then using that information to empower our conversations with our financial advisors.
Yep.
So how do we journey that way when it comes to the open conversations with our financial advisors, given the lessons and learnings we have on public platforms, but also making sure that they still speak to our individualistic needs?
Yeah, so I think the conversation with the advisor is important because, look, at the end of the day, proper entities, proper financial services providers, product providers, investment companies do advertise on social media, and they do tend to say things like invest now, you know, safeguard your retirement and so forth. Even then, the thing is, it is important for a consumer to take that and take it to their financial advisors. So you can share content with your financial advisor. You can go to a financial advisor and say, I've seen this. I'm interested in it. Is it something that applies to me? Is it something that is important for my financial circumstances? And then together create a plan. And whether it's an investment or whether it's something more aspirational or personal, like retirement planning, where I want this goal in my future, those are all conversations that a financial advisor can help you get the best out of. Mm-hmm. So I would suggest that you actually share your content with your trusted financial advisor and have those conversations quite openly. I think today, even when you go to a medical professional, it's completely fine to say, I've talked to ChatGPT or I've seen this on social media, talk to me about it. And I think the same should be true with your financial advisor. There should be a level of transparency and an open conversation where you say, this has really inspired me. Can I get here? Mm. And then to work out a personal goal plan with your financial advisor is important.
Mm-hmm. And that's also important for us to understand the full scope of information that we can discuss with our financial advisor, right? Including the information we can get off social media. As mentioned, from the basics of budgeting to, you know, trying to invest and 10x your money.
Yep.
But that does need to translate into a conversation again with your financial advisor. Maybe talk us through that full scope, and not just in terms of generating the wealth, but also covering your risk, because that's
an important
aspect of planning.
So absolutely. So things don't apply to everyone, even something as simple as budgeting. You know, some of the trends on social media, cash stuffing, which is really just a new way of saying the envelope method that we all would have known for years. Budgeting, where you actually talk to your friends and have accountability partners who tell you, this is what I'm actually saving for. What are you saving for? You know, different things work for different people. The envelope method doesn't work for me, for example, but it might work for the next person. A financial advisor can actually help you to find a way of even budgeting that works for you, to find tips and tricks that help you to make space for investing. And then critically, when it comes to investing, to help you decide which investment is the right thing to start with. And whether you should maybe pay off your debt first before you invest, things like weighing up paying off property quicker versus retirement savings versus the other tax deductible types of investments in the market, all of those kind of product decisions, it's difficult for a consumer to do that on their own. Mm. And then within each of those investments, you also have things like your fund choice. So if you have a long time to save, you might want to invest in a higher risk type of product. And if you don't have such a long time to save and you might need access to your money, you'll want a lower risk product. So, I mean, even then, I've just run through three different categories of decision making that becomes quite complex even in this conversation. And that's where a financial advisor gets involved to help you find something that will actually work for you, not just today because it looks like the newest trend, but in 5 years or 10 years' time, when something has happened in your life and you actually might need the money, or you're now nearing retirement, you know, that trend would have come and gone. But your financial plan needs to stand the test of time with you. Mm-hmm. And it's walking that journey that's also what a financial advisor will do, that they'll help you make the decision up front. But they actually, typically, advisors get paid for the long-term relationship that they have with you. Yeah. So they have a vested interest to help you make decisions that are actually going to be even financially profitable to them over time. A once-off decision is not going to help them, but they're going to walk that road with you for 5 or 10 or even 20 years. And that's really where the value for them comes in, which means they have a vested interest in helping you make the right decisions too.
100%. And I think it's also important for us to reflect on asset classes and trends, because so often you hear of themes in cryptocurrency, which perhaps is a more dominant and popular asset class on social media platforms, but also different investment groups. And sometimes it's easy to spot a Ponzi scheme a mile away. Others have invested in properties that don't exist. But there's so many of these scams. And maybe talk us through again how we need to be mindful of some of these quote-unquote investment opportunities, even from people who create fake profiles. I have a few, I must tell you, Juanita, where people actually try to solicit money and advice in my name, which is false.
Yeah, it's a tough landscape out there. And like you said, it's actually really difficult to tell a scam from a legitimate opportunity for you. And then within the legitimate opportunities, there's a whole range. I mean, I can't comment on whether cryptocurrency really is the next best thing or whether it is actually something that is going to be a trend that comes and goes as well. But what I can say is that within any of these asset classes, including cryptocurrency, but also including equities, which stocks to invest in, all of it, there are winners and there are losers within all of those. And I think the challenge really is the type of investigation that you need to actually undertake to understand which are the scams, which are legitimate but are less likely to succeed, and which are more likely to succeed in the long term. I think it takes a lot of effort. So if you are going to be doing it yourself, as I said earlier, for me, the first red flag is anyone telling you invest now, quickly get in there now before you miss the boat. That's a big red flag. Mm-hmm. An investment should be something that you take time with, that you investigate thoroughly, that you match to your circumstances, and that you then choose for the long term. So the minute there's a quick call to action, that should be a red flag. Obviously, also looking into the company, researching what is this entity. If this is a person in their personal circumstances with a personal bank account, I mean, that should be a red flag too. Mm. But then within the entities, what is their track record? And how long is the track record? If the track record is a few months, that should be concerning, because that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to continue. In fact, you might have just missed the boat. A lot of investors make that mistake of investing just after an investment has actually increased in value. Investments fluctuate. All kinds of investments do fluctuate. And if you go in when everybody else has just told you that they've earned this and they've had this return, you might have actually missed that. And then if the tides turn and that asset class then drops, you might then find yourself losing money. And then what a lot of investors do is quickly take their money out because they are afraid. But then they take their money out after it's fallen. Yeah. That kind of behavior is also very difficult just from a personal human perspective, and where somebody else who can be professional in it and have a more objective view on the whole situation can help you invest at a point in time that it's actually the right time to invest, you know, typically where share prices or the price of whatever asset class is not raised. And then also help you stay invested through the tough times, through volatility and so forth.
Yes.
But again, yeah, it's such a difficult thing to even explain in a 10 or 15 minute conversation. The bottom line really is that it takes a lot of research. This is why professionals have to go through lots of accreditation. They have to have so many qualifications to be able to do the necessary background research. For me personally, it's difficult even for me. So I'm not going to say that as a consumer, I know this one is going to do well and that one is not. That's what financial advisors are paid to do. And that's what they've learnt. That's how they are accredited. Mm. I think it's very difficult to give a one size or quick fit solution to a consumer.
Exactly. And even the previous financial advisors we've spoken to on the show here also understand the diversification approach, right? So that if one asset class does struggle, then you've got backup in another one, just to weigh out your risk. And that, again, depends on everyone's individualistic approach. Juanita, I think it's also important for us just to highlight the importance of risk cover. Making money is one thing, but if you're a sole proprietor and you use yourself and you are the business, if you fall ill or can't work or die, then there is no income, and your assets need to be protected, your loved ones. There's one thing in building wealth, but that wealth also needs to be protected. And that's something that typically isn't focused on social media.
No, it's not. And actually, it's not even focused on in conversations, really, if we're honest. This was the point I was making up front, too. There's budgeting. Then there are product choices that people have to make. I mean, I just high-level mentioned property as an example. Mm-hmm. But there's also insurance. There's healthcare. In South Africa, health cover is critically important. Within insurance, there's your long-term insurance, your life cover for if something happens to you. But there's also short-term insurance. We have to have cover for our cars, for example. We have to have cover for all kinds of events that may or may not happen to us. But if it happens, you want to be protected. So there's a range of different options. And we haven't even talked about estate planning for that matter, where investing is not the only way that you are going to build wealth that is for the long term for your loved ones. I think generational wealth is such an important topic also in South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
So all of these product options and all of these different goals that we have are important and all have to be taken into account when you're deciding how much you allocate towards insurance, how much are you going to allocate towards debt repayments, how much are you going to allocate towards investments. All of that has to be taken into account, And it sounds like a lot, but every step counts. And actually getting started on this journey is probably going to be the most important first step. Definitely. The first step's always the hardest.
Definitely. First step is always the hardest, but boy, oh boy, will you be pleased once you've taken care of it all. Juanita, thank you so much for your time this evening, ma'am. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
Fantastic. That's Juanita Isaacs, Head of Key Accounts at Momentum. As you've heard, yes, social media, one of our favorite pastimes for many South Africans. I think just take a look at your screen time and you'll know how busy we are on our phones. So there's nothing wrong with gaining some of the analysis and the insight regarding FinTok. Some people are sharing their genuine stories, genuine observations, and maybe doing a bit of what we do here on KaiBiz, where they share some of the learnings and lessons with you. But tread with caution. If there's anything that puts you under pressure to say, buy now, invest now, give me your money now, that you should be mindful of, because you need to double check if those investment strategies actually are authorized by a financial reputable institution, if they are registered as a financial services provider, if they are acknowledged by the FSCA. And even if they claim that they do your research. Tread with caution. What is definitely welcomed is the sharing of information to make sure that many of us are able to build wealth and have a better understanding of it. But just be sure to get a second opinion from someone who is authorized to do so. The same way you go to your dentist for your teeth, ophthalmologist for your eyes, go to a financial advisor for your money. And make sure that then you're able to compare notes given the research that you would have put together and the personalized solution that they can give to you. Making money is one thing, but you also need to protect your wealth, because life can get very real sometimes. Share your thoughts with us though. 0636880959. Are you also one of those that loves information and insight from FinTok or Finfluencers, gaining your information from social media? Have you been scammed? Have you been duped? Did you give money to a fake Kukuletu Mfupi profile? I hope not, because that's not what I do. I share information here. I never ask you for your money or try to encourage you to invest in one particular platform.
Gugu, ungakhulum ngendaba ye investment yama scam. Nange usendi ngibona iNews 24 Cyril Ramaphosa is actually talking, uthi no, this platform besingafuni ukuthi abantu bayazi, you can earn 680 per hour, people are earning this lots of money, da-da-da-da-da. Yim lo gugu, yo, sengifuna ukwazi, sengifuna ukuklik ama-link. Thank God I found my husband that never, you are not clicking any link. Come home, let's see. On Instagram, mangimbonisa athi hayi bo, this is a scam. Angeke president akhulume ngama investment ukuthi lento lena we were hiding it from people. The way the guy was saying government was hiding this from us ukuthi siyibone, and people are getting rich from this money, they earning 680 per hour. Almost ngiwela kuma scam gugu.
I don't buy anything or follow anything from a financial influencer. It's even worse lately because of AI, and people believe anything and everything because it's from a particular brand. And what I've realized is in most cases, it's not for the benefit of the customer, because that particular brand would want to make back that money that they gave to the influencer, you know. So I believe in general testimonies. If you gonna tell me about a particular brand, which, no, I use this particular brand and 123, 123, then you are someone closer to me. I know which, that information is valuable. But rather than that, I don't buy it.
Kaya Biz.
Wealth creation. Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.